Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 292 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah.
It's Christmas week.
Oh, my gosh, we made it.
We have made it to, I don't know, the end of the month, the end of the season, the end of the year.
Right. Yes. I mean, we're so close to the finish line of what has been the weirdest year in my ever history. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's so funny because, like, I was just reading the other day, like, an article that said, as we go into year two of the pandemic, I thought, oh, my gosh, it's true, because it was already happening this time of year last year.
Mm-hmm.
So just, it's kind of crazy to think about that. Not that this is going to be all pandemic focused, but how it's kind of hard not. That's like the elephant in the room with, like, every conversation, right?
Yeah, it is. And if you heard our episode last week, we played with the idea of Ghost of Holidays Past. It was really fun. And we got some nice notes about hearing about our memories of holidays past. But today is kind of focused on the present. And there's really no way to talk about the present without including, you know, like you said, all of the weirdness of this year. I just in this moment, I am just still feeling a little anticlimactic about Christmas. And full disclosure, we're recording on December 17th. So maybe by the 22nd, it'll feel real. It just doesn't feel quite real. I mean, I've got the tree up. I've got all the festive trimmings, but it feels weird. I don't know. How about you?
So, well, Owen, okay. So first of all, two things. Yes. I got done so early this year. All of my shopping, like literally the last thing I had to purchase was bought by the 14th.
Wow.
That is unprecedented for me. Like I would always, unless something just doesn't show up, you know, that I have, so I have to like go out and pinch it. I am done. And usually I'd still be shopping like up until Christmas Eve because I kind of like doing that. But this year just there was so much time to fill and I'm not doing it. I'm not going to concerts. I'm not going to like holiday stuff, you know. So the other day I was thinking how I really kind of wanted to have a night where I got myself in the spirit by pouring a glass of wine and wrapping presents. But I was talking to Jenna, my sister-in-law, and she's like, I'm waiting till next week because I'll have nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't like put off wrapping, she's like, I'm afraid I'm going to get to the day or two before Christmas and just be like bummed that I'm done. That like everything I could milk out of the season has been milked out. So that was one thought I had. And then I was talking to Owen the other day and, you know, he's 15 and he just has a really funny way of talking to me. Like he kind of always like approaches me and then just asks me a string of questions. That's kind of how we talk. So today's question was, so, hey, mom, what are we like, you know, doing? I was like, what do you mean? He's like, Christmas. And I was like, what do you mean? I guess, well, I mean, like, you know, is there anything I need to be thinking about or like getting ready for? Like, you know, do I need to put some time out? Like, do I need to, you know, keep myself free for something?
Oh.
And I was like, oh, honey, we're all, there's no calendar.
This is it. You're looking at it.
I know. I kind of gestured around. I'm like, we're doing it right now. This is, And it was kind of sad. I was like, I had nothing to offer at all. I was just like, here you are. You're doing exactly what you need to do by existing right now.
Yeah.
So thank you. But it's very strange.
Well, as you're talking, I'm thinking, you know, we've been recording some holiday content for a few weeks now. And I think moms who are such planners and preparers, it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that this holiday feels different. In fact, we've all been kind of obsessing over that for months. But now that it's here, it's almost like a different, almost like physical, visceral feeling of the difference. It's like we knew it was coming, but now we're like, we're just looking around experiencing it. So that's actually a great segue into talking about the present moment, which is, what this episode is about. So we're going to talk about, you know, this year's holidays and our families and what we'll be doing and stuff like that. But I thought to kick it off, I thought we could literally do a quick lightning round. This is your life on December 17th as we're recording. So I'm just going to ask you some very easy questions to set the stage for the present moment. Okay.
Okay. Go for
it. All right. What are you wearing right now?
Ooh, I am wearing a pair, those black like denim look legging jeggings, whatever, that I think you got a pair on Jane, or you told me about them on Jane.
Yeah, I don't have them, have, but I remember you don't. Getting them. Yeah.
They have like a denim look, but they're mm-hmm. they're not really denim. And they're the ones that I love in black and hated in every other color.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yes. I wear them a lot. I really, really love them. I am wearing the with a top that I like grabbed off the rack at TJ Maxx because, you know, dressing rooms aren't a thing.
No. Nope.
But I was in there picking up some candles. And I just knew I was going to love it. It's like a fleecy black 3/4 length sleeve, but the kind that makes it really, and it's a dolman sleeve, you mm-hmm. know?
Yes, we love our dolmans.
We do love our dolmans. And it's the kind that's really easy to push up.
Uh-huh.
And it has like this, not a turtleneck, but like one of those, what's it called? When
like
they
a
like
cowl neck?
Like a cowl neck, like a love really it. Soft cowl neck. And it's got like a tied, like a cinched waist.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's the perfect length. With a drawstring. So it's like not always easy to just grab something off of a rack, but I knew this was going to look and feel fantastic on me. And so I bought it and I was right.
I love it.
And I'm wearing a little thin pair of cotton socks because I decided today that my winter feet needed some attention and gave them a good scrubbing in the shower. And then I slathered them with my, oh, I even have the lotion at my hand. I bought this, what I thought was basically just like a tub of moisturizer for my face, but it's very, very thick.
Yeah.
It's actually a Garnier Skin Active Soothing 3-in-1 Moisturizer Day Night Mask made with rose water. Anyway,
you put it on your feet?
I put it on my feet because it feels like Eucerin. Like it's that, you know, that
yes.
mm-hmm. thick.
Yeah.
Like almost not waxy, but it's like a balm or something. Yeah. So like an ointment. I put it on my feet and I put little thin cotton socks on. I like to do that sometimes. So that's
you're
me.
So smart. I mean, I know I get the reputation as like the preparer, but you, I feel like, are really good at thinking, you know, we talked about nails in a recent episode. Like, what am I going to be doing for the next hour and how can I maximize?
Yes, this? I do that. I truly do. Before I record, I'm like, how could I get the most like beauty out of the next 2 hours?
Yeah, that, so, that's going to be my New Year's resolution. That's a great idea. Okay. Well, I am also wearing black leggings and they're also from Jane, but they're like a soft legging, not like a workout tight. They're really soft and I have two pairs of them and I love them.
I think I have those same ones because I think you recommended them to me and were they pretty cheap?
Yes. Very.
Okay. So I got like four pair of those. And again, I love the black and like the dark gray, but all the other colors on me look awful.
Okay. Interesting.
So you know, like the quality is different or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. It can be hit or miss over there. And then I had Uggs on earlier and I had little like running socks, but I've already kicked off my socks. And this goes back to I'm constantly taking off and putting on footwear in my house. So I am barefoot and I'm wearing a long sleeve dark green t-shirt from Target. And then over that, I have this very thin, almost like tissue thin pullover. It looks like a sweater, but it's not actually warm because it's so thin and it has elbow patches and it's just dark gray with black elbow patches. And I've had it for probably 8 years and it's a great layering piece. So it doesn't get too hot inside. So basically like two long sleeve things layered over each other. I have a full face of makeup on for no reason. And we talked about that in our recent beauty episode, but then my hair is like totally dirty and unstyled and up out of my face. So
can I make a side note really quick? Because you mentioned running socks. I'm assuming you didn't run today, but
not at all.
You know, okay. I have decided, and I just decided this today, to cry uncle to give myself a pass on the idea that I am going to exercise at all between now and the week after Christmas. Not going to do it. Like it was because I've been doing so much making. I'm making a lot of gifts this year, and that includes like trying to figure out when I'm going to ship stuff in. When I'm going to fit everything else in. And I just thought now trying to fit in a workout has become the source of stress when usually it would feel good. Like mm-hmm. figuring out like when I was going to like squeeze in a yoga class or like go out for a walk or doing a quick, you know, like a workout or whatever, usually is something I look forward to as like an escape or a break, something like a feel good thing. And it was starting to not feel like that. And I was like, nope, I'm out. I can't do it. So I just said today, nope, it's not happening.
I love that. And I just like in general, giving ourselves permission to do the thing that we're kind of already doing anyway is just a mindset shift.
Yeah, so, exactly. I wasn't doing it anyway. So why don't I just say this is the thing I'm not doing until my life opens up for it again. So there you go.
I love it. Okay. Well, related to what you're wearing, are there any other physical feelings or symptoms of note today? Like, how are you feeling in your body? And I can go first on this. And it's not meant to be all negative. If you're feeling great in your body, that's good too. I am a little headachy today, which is common for me. I'm very prone to mild headaches. It can be dehydration. It can be bad sleep. It can be hormonal, time of the month, etc. So I'm a little headachy. My face, my skin on my face is flaky right now, which happens sometimes because I do use a retinol product that I love. And it's always, the flaky face is always followed by like a week or so of fantastic skin. So I just put up with it. But it's always like I go to put on a little like tinted moisturizer or, you know, makeup or something. And it's like I look like, if you look up close, it looks like I'm peeling. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to have great skin like tomorrow.
I love it.
And then I think that's it. Those are my physical symptoms today. I feel pretty good otherwise. How about you?
Well, because I haven't really been as active physically as I usually would be, I'm a little, I don't know, look sore. Like I just feel like I need to get in a really good stretch and movement, and I haven't been as much. So I'm going to try to figure out like little ways to do that without having to have like, you know, a workout. Otherwise I feel good. I've been really zitty lately, like real zitty. I've had a couple really big breakouts, which is pretty unusual for me. So I'm hoping like I'm coming down off of that and that I will look fantastic for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Let's just manifest that.
Yeah. okay. So tell me about the room that you are in and any descriptors of note in the present moment.
Well, I am on my bed. In my bedroom, which is where I almost always record. And to the right of my bed, there are two nice big double windows and a like a French door type, not a French door, sorry, like a, what do you call the door that has like the glass panels in it? Just a single door, but it's...
Yeah. Yeah, but it's an exterior door. It goes to the outside?
It's an exterior door that goes to like a little balcony that's off of my bedroom and over the side yard and faces like the, like a really pretty, like old-fashioned intersection in town. Like I'm in an older area of town, not super old, but pretty, you know, this house has probably been here since the 1800s. So it's pretty old. And it's just really nice. Like I can go out there and see like a lot that's going on at the high schools right across the street. And that's on my other side, although those blinds are closed right now. So I cannot currently see the high school, but if those blinds were open, I'd be looking at them. I am looking at a pile of, okay, does this ever happen to you? I will have, because I do my laundry downstairs.
Okay.
I will fill a laundry basket with all my clean laundry, but then other stuff ends up in the laundry basket because I know I'm going to carry it upstairs. So like,
So it's like, a vessel.
It's a vessel. So like there's a thing of Febreze. There's a couple baseball hats. I don't know why those are in there. Like just a bunch of random stuff that wound up in my laundry basket. And then I really, some like charger cords. And then I really needed my laundry basket for another load of laundry. So I dumped it at the end of my bed. And now I'm just looking at this bizarre pile of unrelated objects and clean clothes that are just hanging out there. My Kindle, my hairbrush is right next to me, my face mask. And then I'm also looking at a huge stack of library books that I checked out when the libraries were still open, which has now been probably a month and a half and still have not returned. And I need to, and they're right in front of my face. And I don't know why I can't bring myself to do it.
Could you just collect them and put them in the next place, like the front seat of the car or like in a cute tote bag that you hang in the laundry room? I think sometimes just removing them from sight so that you're like your brain has checked it off, even if like you're not going to get there till January or whatever.
Do you want to hear what's a weird thing that I think is happening with me in the library books? Because the library is closed, I now am hoarding them.
Oh, it's like a scarcity.
I don't want to return them.
Yeah.
Because I don't like, I didn't read them all. And I at first was like, well, I overchecked out. I checked out too many things and I knew I wouldn't read them all. And I was fully prepared to return three quarters untouched, right? But now I'm looking at them going, but that's reading material that could get me through like the next 2 months before they open again, if that's how long it takes.
Yeah.
And so part of me just wants to pay the fines and not return them, which is really like a dumb long-term strategy.
Does yours not just let you renew them online, like in a click?
I was until they were like,
Ours are like never. In fact, the new library, since I moved to Santa Barbara County, they do it automatically. Like there's, I've
had that's nice of them.
Yeah.
No,
in Orange County, I had to go in and do it myself.
Yeah, I keep trying and it keeps telling me I'm not eligible. Now, what I probably could do, I probably could call the branch and recheck them out because they are allowing people to do holds and pick up books and stuff. But I can't do library like that. Like I'm not good at like searching the card catalog and deciding what I want and having a hold. I need to go look at it.
Right.
Otherwise, that's like, I just don't know what I want to read. So I might just do that. But it's just this thing. It's just like one of those nagging, stupid things that, I don't know. I've been talking about my bedroom for too long, but you know how it is. Like, the piles of mess are getting to me a little bit.
I love that 6 years into this, we still think we can do a lightning round of anything. So.
is there something like slow lightning?
No, I think like it's lightning, just like rolling thunder.
We could call it the rolling thunder. Oh, I love it. Round. I love
That's
it.
Okay. Well, I am also in my bedroom, and I have mentioned a couple times, but you converted me to recording the podcast from bed since I moved to this house and thought I was going to have an office to use, and I don't. And then we were having technical problems in there anyway. So I sit in my bed. I actually texted you a picture on your phone like a minute ago. Because I always have unfolded laundry on my bed, and there's an especially large amount of it today, and also a dog bed at the end of my bed, and a dog, and my notebook. And so I'm in bed. I've got my little lap desk, which I purchased this year and I love, and my mic stand, and it's kind of like a whole operation to get in and out of my recording setup in bed.
Yeah, you tell me sometimes you're like stuck in it and you have to call Brian for help.
Yeah, well, because of the lap desk and the way the mic stand is, I'm comfortable. So I enjoy sitting here, but it's a process to extricate myself. And then, my bedroom also has a pretty window that looks out to the street where a lot of people use our residential street as like their walking path because the streets nearby are busier and ours is a little loop that's less busy. So way more people walk my street than live on my street, if that makes sense, because it's a little loop. So I see people walking their dogs. And it's nice to have a big window. So that is the room that I'm in. Well, I nominate us to take our first break now and then to continue to check in about our lightning round.
Are you making an executive decision during our rolling thunder round, Sarah?
This storm is going longer than anticipated, everyone. Meteorologist Sarah here. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue with checking in about the present moment.
Love it. Sarah, you know that I can get a little bit in a rut when it comes to my nightly beverage of choice, but I really do love trying new wines. It's just sometimes hard to commit to opening like a whole bottle if I don't know what I'm getting or if I just really want, one healthy pour. So I am loving our sponsor, Bev, for introducing me to three delicious new options, but in super convenient glass and a half sized cans.
I know, I agree, especially that glass and a half part. That's just perfect for me. And while I used to be a little wary about the wine in a can trend, Bev has really made me rethink that. These wines are delicious. They're dry, refreshing, and just a little bit bubbly. My favorite is the rosé, but I've really enjoyed all three.
You're right. They are so good. I have found myself gravitating toward the Sauvignon Blanc, which is fun because I'm typically not really a white wine drinker, but these cute little cans are so easy to grab, and I really do love how crisp and refreshing Bev wine is. Bev comes in three varietals, the rosé and Sauvignon Blanc we mentioned, plus a Pinot Gris. They're easy to stash around in the fridge, even when it's filled to the brim with holiday fixings and eventually leftovers. And these cans are really so adorable. I think one of the four packs would make a great surprise gift, don't you?
Oh, yeah, totally. Wouldn't it be fun to play like Bev Wine Fairy and do holiday drop-offs of a variety pack on your friends' porches? I love that idea. And it's perfect because Bev is a female-founded, female-focused wine company. So what better way to celebrate our fellow mom friends this holiday season? And we have worked out an exclusive deal for the Mom Hour podcast listeners that will make it easier to do just that. Get 20% off your first purchase plus free shipping on all orders. Go to drinkbev.com/momhour or use code momhour at checkout to get this deal. That's drinkbev.com/momhour. Okay, Megan, when I heard that our sponsor Native Deodorant makes seasonal scents, I was like, okay, cute. That's really fun. But I'm such a creature of habit that here I was trucking along with my lavender rose and totally missing out on candy cane scented deodorant. Native sent me some to try recently, and I am loving it. Seasonal deodorant is like the new scented candle, I think.
Okay, this is great because we get so many questions about what to put in tween and teen stockings at Christmas, and I love to fill my kids' stockings with useful personal care items. Candy cane deodorant is now officially on Santa's shopping list. Native also has really cute gift sets that combine several products in a set or that let you try multiple scents in smaller sizes.
We love Native because their deodorants are made with ingredients you've actually heard of, like coconut oil and shea butter, and never with stuff you don't want in there, like aluminum, parabens, sulfates, or talc. And it works. Native is risk-free to try. Every product comes with free shipping within the U.S., plus free 30-day returns and exchanges. And they've got more than 14,000 five-star reviews. So we are not the only ones who love them.
Shop Native's holiday collection today by going to nativedeo.com/momhour20 or use promo code MOMHOUR20 at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo.com/momhour20 or use promo code MOMHOUR20 at checkout for 20% off your first order.
Okay, so we have checked in about the present moment, about what we're wearing and how we're feeling and the room that we're sitting in. So I would love to hear the state of your house right now on December 17th. And actually, I'll go first with this one because I loved the blog post you wrote this month about Christmas in progress. Is that what you called it? I thought it was Christmas in progress.
Oh my gosh. Did I call it? No, emerging Christmas.
Yeah. Okay.
Emerging Christmas.
Yes. Basically how even 10 or 12 or 15 days into the month, you might have these pretty rooms that are decorated, but there's always Amazon boxes half opened on the side. And there's always dishes in the sink. And I know at this point we sound like a broken record about some of this stuff, but I thought the way you wrote about it was just very gentle and kind of like, at least for someone like me, like just a reminder that it still counts. Like your pretty twinkle lights still count, even if you have to kick like a trash pile out of the way to appreciate them. Right. Like there's always that corner of junk in December. Well, you're not aiming to get rid of it. You need to enjoy it even while it's there is what I took away from that.
And it never, there's never a moment where that all goes away. Like it literally, exactly. Even on Christmas Day, it's, you're either in emerging Christmas or diminishing Christmas. It's like
so
waxing
true.
Or waning. It's never like there. You know,
you didn't
arrive. You just kind of blew past it and now you're going in the other direction. And I think that's just like, I think we think at some moment there's going to be this photo worthy minute and time, like moment in time where it's just all done. And there's just always going to, because even the stuff you put up came out of somewhere.
Yes. Yes, totally.
So,
and it's got to go somewhere. So
exactly.
Okay. So the state of my house, I would just say festive, but dirty. So both can coexist. I'm really in love with the tree we found and where we put it. And we have this beautiful formal living room that I've probably Instagrammed too many times now. People are tired of seeing it, but it has built-in bookcases and a bay window. So it's
very pretty.
It's just very charming. And the tree looks great. I mean, dreams versus reality. Like the reality actually lived up to what I was picturing with the decor and the tree, especially. So it's very festive. I made sure we had lots of like twinkle lights to just throw up here and there. I bought some extra ones at Target for like $2, which, by the way, great tip for next year. Target has twinkle lights with a white string instead of a green. So anything that you're not going to put on an actual evergreen tree. They just look a little more polished and pretty when the string is white instead of dark green. And they were $2.50 for a pack, for a string of 50 lights. And
it's crazy how cheap they can be. Yeah.
I bought a bunch of white lights and a bunch of colored lights and I just put them in all random places in the house. So the house feels so pretty and festive and I feel like just super like cozy and dreamy and grateful about that. And the floors really need sweeping. Like we haven't had a deep clean in this house. Like not a real one since we moved in 5.5 months ago. Of course, like I clean the toilets and I sweep the floors and all that, but like it really needs cleaning. You know, the kids' art projects are everywhere. There's laundry piles. So yeah, I am having to embrace that duality and your blog post kind of helped me. And I read somewhere that Enneagram ones, one hallmark of an Enneagram one is they'll walk into a room and immediately see the thing that needs to be fixed. And it's not necessarily like a bad thing. It's just one of our skills is to like identify areas of improvement. But when you're trying to, you know, make your home welcoming and cozy and pretty, like that's not, you need to be able to shut that thing off
right.
or like dim that tendency. So that's kind of where I am in the home sphere right now.
Because the thing that to you, I think that's so interesting. And I wonder what for Enneagram 2 it would be, but let me guess.
Who needs something?
I think that probably for me, I would worry about things like, is there enough toilet paper in the bathroom and a hand towel so everyone can use it? Like, so it's like, I tend to kind of fixate on some of those kinds of things. But at the same time, like I miss details all the time. Like I would walk into a room and not notice if a clutter pile has been there long enough, it ceases to exist to me.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, like there's the upside and the downside. The upside is I can look in and go, I can triage really fast and go, what matters to people and what doesn't?
Yeah.
That's a plus. And like the negative is I literally don't see anything else.
Right. Right.
So yeah. Like we need to combine our two powers.
I know. No kidding. Point. Yeah. So how about you and your home?
So, you know that I had moved from a tiny, tiny home to a much bigger home, and it's looking a little sparse to me. Even in the house we lived in before the tiny home, it was just more of your like slightly newer house style where you could see more of the house from one place. And in this, I live in like an old fashioned farmhouse, right? Like, so the whole downstairs, every room is very much its own. And there's like a separate sitting room. The living room and the dining room is separate and the kitchen is separate. And I basically live in the kitchen. So I'm very happy that I have like a whole bunch of little trinkety, like red and white Santa Claus trinkets and little toys. And they're just like all cute. And they've always gone together. And I've always put them in this very specific place on this like dresser thing that I use as a buffet table kind of. And this year it just didn't make sense to put them there. I have this sort of cheesy mirrored shelving thing behind my sink, which I kind of hate. It's very 80s, but it works so well when you've got lots of smalls, you know?
Yeah.
And so all the smalls reflect back and it looks really, really pretty. But that means that all the spaces I would have put that stuff on are now sort of semi-empty.
Yeah.
And I feel like I need more stuff. At the same time, I don't want to spend money on more stuff right now. And I don't really want to then, you know, we're not going to live in this enormous house forever. This is very much like a let's get two more kids out of the house before we downsize again things. So like, it really doesn't make sense for me to, so I'm just trying to like, I almost have to do a loop through the house to see all my Christmas stuff. And I don't love that. I wish I could just see it all. But the tree is very pretty. We got like a big, nice fat tree this year. And I love it a lot. And, we have a mantle, which is new for me. I haven't had a mantle in forever and it looks, the nutcrackers and the stockings look fantastic on it. So it's just like I have to go into each room and take a moment to pause and appreciate what I like about that room and then move on. But the thing doesn't feel cohesive to me.
Yeah.
So I hear that. Love it and don't. And then I actually hired a cleaning service to come on Friday. And I have not, just like you, since I moved into this house now, it's been almost a year. I've only done one deep clean. I did my own deep clean last April and it took me a full 24 hours. Like I didn't do anything but clean and sleep. For from like one full day to the next full day. And I was sore afterward and it was great. But I was like, I don't have the time to do that this year. And honestly, like, you know, we talk a lot about supporting local businesses and stuff, but like those kinds of local businesses are struggling too. And so not that I have to justify it, but it did kind of help me solidify that decision. Like,
yeah,
here's something I can do to like employ somebody locally that, you know, over the years I have that has really helped me a lot when I've needed it. And so I'm very much looking forward to tomorrow evening having a totally clean and dog hair free temporarily holiday house.
Yeah. Yep. I love that. Good. Well, final question in the present check-in, because this is a parenting podcast, a motherhood podcast. So at the present moment, how old are your children? First of all, I always like to revisit that because we have lots of new listeners. And where are they? Like literally, where are your five children right now?
I don't know. I have no idea where they are. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so let's see. They are 11. They all just changed ages except for one. So I always have to pause. They are 11, 15, 17, 21, and 23.
All odd numbers right now.
All odds, just for a little bit. And then Clara will become even again, and then the whole thing will get thrown off. But yes, there's a bright, shining moment in December through early March that they are all odds or evens. Clara is in her room. I believe she is working on schoolwork. I have forced, because the kids are doing school remotely, I have mandated that she sit at the dining room table to work because she kept falling asleep in Zoom calls.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Because she would get all cozy in her bed. And I don't mind if she's like, I know some schools have rules about that, but I'm like, come on, guys. Like, these kids need to be comfortable. I work in bed.
Yeah.
But a couple times I came in, I could tell she'd been nodding off. And then she said at one point, she woke up to her teacher going, Clara, Clara. Oh, I was like, okay, that's not going to work anymore. So I was making her go downstairs. But then she was saying things like, Mom, this house is so cold. I'm literally freezing. I'm like, and it's just an old farmhouse. Like, the room she does, the dining room is all windows, basically. So she, it's drafty and chilly in there. But I mean, I feel the cold. My kids complain about cold to a level that I think is a bit ridiculous. But anyway, today she did say she had a bit of a headache. So I let her go in her room. And I think she's kind of like lounging and working on work sort of half-heartedly. Owen is in his room at his desk working on school. Oh, and Clara doesn't like to work at her desk because her bed is behind her desk, which means if she's sitting at her desk, everyone can see her bed. Whereas if she's sitting in her bed, everyone just sees the wall.
Right.
You know, it's just this interesting like gymnastics that about this stuff that we wouldn't have had to worry about.
Totally.
Ever before this.
Especially in middle school, self-conscious middle school years,
yes,
you know?
Yes, exactly. Will is in his room taking, I believe, a makeup test. Okay. Isaac is at his job in about an hour and a half away from here. And I believe, I believe he's coming home tonight. He lives in Grand Rapids, which is the next biggest city. And he comes home typically Thursday nights. He works Monday through Thursday and then is here Thursday through Sunday. And then Jacob, I don't know where Jacob is.
That's all right.
I mean, he lives here.
He's an adult.
But he's probably, he likes to go like, I don't know, ride his bike around town and buy things at like McDonald's. I don't know. He's just like doing his own thing. So
I'm going to say that four out of five is an A plus.
It's not
bad. Five children, and two of whom are adults. Four out of five.
Can I just tell you the sweetest dream I had last night? Yeah. And it made me so happy. I had a dream that all my other kids were the correct ages. But Isaac, my 21-year-old, was two and a half. And the whole dream was, I just, like, I get teary thinking about it. And I have no idea why I had this dream. You know how it's so random. And it was him sledding. And it was me, like, at the bottom of a sledding hill and him coming down, like, over again laughing. And I was so happy. Like, I just woke up and was like, oh, he was such a cute little 2.5-year-old. It was like I got to go back and relive him as a little one. And it made me so happy. So,
well, he was also a challenging 2.5-year-old. So you got, best... The best
probably
parts.
Him coming down a hill on a sled was the happiest I ever was because he couldn't break anything or have a tantrum. And he wasn't asking me to nurse. That was the other thing. He was like the one I couldn't wean. Oh my gosh. That's another story. Gosh. But anyway, that's where we are right now. How about you? Where are your children, Sarah?
So they are age-wise, they are 12, 10, and 7, but Violet will be 8 in less than a month now. So we're almost going into the phase where they're stair steps with evens for a little bit, but she is still 7 until January. So they are all at school in person. I'm so lucky for that. They're wearing their little masks. I've gone through my morning drop-offs, which is like staggered. So the younger two are at elementary school and the older one is at a middle school, but even the younger two have staggered drop-offs and pickups. So it's like being at 3 schools in terms of driving. So we've done all the morning drop-offs and they are all doing their little thing. Violet has a violin concert-ish. They're just videoed. They're having them stand 6 feet apart on the blacktop outside and play what would be their like holiday violin concert. And then they're just going to send it. They're not even streaming it on Zoom. I think probably for like camera angles and stuff, because it would be hard. So instead they're going to video it and put something together to send us tomorrow. So she was a little bit nervous. They got to dress up where they had to dress up, and anything with clothing is very stressful to her. She gets very excited about dressing up. She loves clothes and she has so many because she's the last in all the hand-me-downs. So she'll think for days about an outfit, but then she'll like change her mind at the last minute or it won't be comfortable. So clothing is always drama, but she picked out a cute outfit and she was excited. She was nervous, I think, about this little violin concert. And yeah, Reed just has a normal day and Allegra has a normal day. And then as we record this, this is Thursday. So tomorrow is the last day before break and they all have half days tomorrow. And because it's a COVID year, all I can think is like, okay, 1.5 more days and then we hunker down. And there hasn't been too much. There really has not been any cases on campus. And they're doing this cohort model where you might hear of one classroom that, you know, needs to go to Zoom for a couple weeks, but like it hasn't affected the whole school. So there's no reason to be like ultra paranoid, but it does just feel like, okay, let's just get everybody home and bubbled again because California is not doing well. So anyway, that's where my kids are. They are at school, which is pretty crazy.
Nice.
So yeah. Okay. Well, that was the longest lightning round in the history of lightning.
I just think this is like several storms. This is like a cluster storm, you know, like where the light, when you're looking outside, there's lightning literally everywhere. You know, that happens sometimes in like the summer. I don't know if you get that in California, but it happens a lot in Michigan.
We don't have anything. So
they're like, it almost, you're like, is it heat lightning? Is it just storms all over the place? It's really cool. But that's kind of what that was like.
Or I like think. A slow moving hurricane, like where they say, well, this hurricane's just going to sit over the city of Houston for the next 2 weeks. Okay.
And then it's going to slowly devolve until it reaches shore and there's nothing left of it. That's the show. That's this episode, guys.
Welcome. Well, we are going to talk about, so we're talking about the present holiday season, but it's hard not to compare COVID years to other years. So I thought we could just spend a little bit of time talking about how this holiday season, and that includes like Christmas in the coming days, looks different than it would have if COVID hadn't happened. So I want you to like almost put on your like sliding doors, you know, like if it was 2020, but COVID hadn't happened. And I can go first on this one.
Wait, Sarah, I got a question for you.
Oh, yeah.
At any point, do I get to act out the Ghost of Christmas Present? Because I took some time to rehearsing.
Perfect. I think, well, I think
the Ghost
he should
of
arrive.
Christmas Present was the jolly one.
Oh, I see. This is where.
So the Ghost of Christmas Past is scary, I believe. Okay. Like, ooh, I think, if I'm remembering it right. And then the Ghost of Christmas Present was like the one with the big curly beard and like was all decked out in like, you know, festive clothing. And I remember him being very huge.
Oh, okay. I don't remember any of these details.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about the present. Okay.
I mean, that was amazing. Please continue to do that throughout this outstanding podcast episode. Okay. So I'm going to go first. We're going to talk about what if 2020 hadn't been COVID and just kind of play with that idea. One thing that's like a real bummer to me, we had started going to Salt Lake City every year, a couple weeks before Christmas for the Lower Lights concert, which I've talked about before, but they're, a musical group made up of a bunch of indie folk musicians that come together at Christmas. And it's like a 20 person band on stage. And it's like classic Christmas carols, mostly, and some old hymns. And it's like a, I don't know, 1,000 person auditorium. And people are literally on their feet, like singing, stomping to some. It's like, because I'm not a regular church goer, it's the closest thing to like a large group singing. And people don't sing along with every song at the Lower Lights concert. Some of it's just like a regular concert, but it's it is like festive overload. And Salt Lake City is, you know, cold and snowy at the holidays, which where I live is not. And so I think I've done it 3 times. Once I went by myself, once Brian and I went, and once Brian and I went with my parents. And, you know, my best friend from growing up, Sarah Sample's a musician. She's in the group. And I don't know when that will ever happen again, honestly. I think they were kind of, they've been doing the concert for 10 years. I think some of the band members are kind of phasing out anyway. And just like, that feels like in another world. Because it's all the things we can't do. Travel, large groups, indoor singing. Like, it's just everything. So that would have happened. I had thought about taking Allegra. I'd thought about like mixing up who went with us. So that is kind of like a loss. And then the big one is like, we literally would not have moved to Santa Barbara if not for COVID. So it is kind of weird to think about 2020. If not for COVID, we would have been living our old life in our cute little neighborhood in Orange County. I would have been doing my kids' caroling party that I talked about last week. So yeah, it's pretty profound the way this holiday looks different than if COVID hadn't happened. And it's not in the way that maybe other people would say, because it's not necessarily like large family gatherings or travel, but there's some pretty big differences. So how about you?
Well, I mean, it's already looked different because we were, you know, our usual tradition would be for Jenna and I to take the girls to the Nutcracker. We did not do that this year. Yeah. We kind of had just like a little local staycation, which actually was really fun, relaxing, lovely, and very inexpensive. But I mean, it's not the same. And then so we don't travel on Christmas Day or Eve, so that won't really be any different. And our pod kind of consists of my brother's family, John and Jenna and their kids. And I'm sure I'll still see them probably on Christmas Eve. And we change that up. And because they're not doing their usual family stuff this year,
right?
Maybe that'll open up some time on Christmas Day. Like, I really don't know. But for us, the big thing that's not happening is the big, like, my multi-family gathering after Christmas. So that would have usually happened like around New Year's, a little bit before New Year's. We'd go see my aunt in Chicago sometimes. Sometimes we would do it here. And like, none of that is happening. And so that's just a bummer. And I don't, you know, I don't know that there's going to be any way to see my sister who lives in Lansing. She's a lot closer than my brother's family who lives in Minneapolis. So we could potentially work out some kind of briefer, like more distanced get together. But I just don't know that we will. Like, I feel like, you know, there's just too many questions and like, is the effort worth it? And I mean, and poor again, like Owen the other day was like, well, what if we all went and got COVID tested and they all got COVID tested? Could we go? And I said, honey, it's not that I would totally do that. But like, I don't know that we can just all show up and get COVID tests on demand right now the way you could 6 months ago. And even if we did, I don't know how long it would take to get them back. And then I don't know how long it would take on their end. And then like, you know, by the time you wait 5 days to get the results, are they even accurate? It's just, it feels like to me, it's better just to say,
No,
we're not doing any of that. And that's hard. And like, I don't know when we'll make it up.
So pretty,
like Christmas even day won't be that different, but the rest, all of the other big things we hang our holiday on are just not happening this year. So.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to put it. Well, then the other question I had was, how will this year's holiday, and you can expand this to just being like this stage of your life, not just 2020, but how are things different than the holidays we talked about last week? You know, I said 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but you can kind of go with this wherever you like with your Ghost of Christmas Present. But maybe paint us a picture of what things are like now as a mom of two adults and three tweens and teens versus what things looked like, you know, 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah. It's definitely easier in a lot of ways. I don't have to worry about the, you know, believer dance, especially that got very like tricky as some kids got older and others were still littles. That I remember being kind of hard. But like on the other side, like it's a little anticlimactic. Like I know my kids are all going to like what I get them, but it's really hard to wow them now. I don't have the budget to wow them the way I did when they were little and their needs were simple. And not only that, there's not even anything they ask for. Like their needs have become so kind of like, I don't know, pedestrian, like the stuff that they want has all become like very practical. It's like, I feel like I'm living in a house full of like, you know, old people or something. There's like, well, Mom, just get me some clothes. I'm like, okay, what about toys? But none of them play with toys anymore. Now, Clara still really likes art supplies and she still gets really excited about stuff. Like, you know, she gets excited about little trinkets and treats and fancy things. Like that excites her. But the other kids, it's just, it's hard. Like I feel like making our Christmas list just isn't as fun as it used to be. And shopping just isn't as fun. On the other hand, like all the stuff I'm making this year, it's because my hands are free and I can.
Yeah.
And that never happened for me when they were little. So there's the trade-off. Like I'm getting a lot of personal joy out of being able to like stitch and embroider all these gifts and things and like put together these kind of fun gift packages to send people because I won't see them this year. And that's really, really fun for me. But I feel like the overall fun and excitement level in the house is diminished overall.
Yeah. I think that's really important for moms of little ones to hear that there is always a trade-off and nobody likes to be told like, oh, enjoy this time now, honey. Like you're going to miss this later. Right. Like nobody likes to hear that, but maybe what people might be more open to hearing is just what it is like in 5 or 10 years and not to weigh one against the other, but just to be honest about those trade-offs. So I think that's really
cause it's like,
accurate.
It's like we still as moms get a lot of joy out of doing things for people and for other people, but the people we're doing the stuff for used to maybe be more focused on our like little nuclear family. Mm-hmm. And so much excitement was in every little thing for them. And then that starts to fade and you lift your eyes and look out a little bit and go, okay, well, what's some other ways I can bring like slightly less magical joy to more people, I guess.
Yeah. No, I love that. Well, for me, you know, obviously I'm several years behind you and I am squarely in that place you talked about with the magical believers going on. I'm hoping this is our last year. I'm really, to be very brutally honest, I am not enjoying the waning of the magical belief in my house. It's very inconvenient and like not fun anymore. And I'll just be grinchy about that. And I think it's the last year, but I don't know. I think you said Clara was like closer to 10 or something, but
I think she was kind of faking it for a while. Yeah. But yeah, like 9 to 10. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, I'll just leave that there. But even with the shopping and the deciding what to gift the kids, it's like I feel like there's this other gifter that gets credit for things. And I'm like super over that. Do you know what I mean? I know we're being yeah. vague here for little ears, but like I'm over that. I want all the oh, credit yeah. for the gifts. And it's kind of like putting a wrench in like our gift planning a little bit. It's like, gosh,
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
You're that age that you're describing right now was when I shifted away from like the big gift going to like the mm-hmm. credit for the big gift going yeah. to another entity. Let's put it that way. And I just started claiming the credit. And then the only other entity, like the only thing the other entity got credit for was the stockings. Like
I strategically
shifted away and nobody ever noticed.
I would, if I could do it over again, and if there's anyone listening who wants to adopt this, that's how I would do it from the beginning. Stockings yeah. were magical, or some other magical tradition, like maybe one type of gift magically appeared and it was always pajamas, or it was always, you know, like something. But big ticket gifts, I wish I had done that differently from the beginning. So that's not really what I meant to talk about in terms of present day. Let me tell you what's great about my present day. Allegra decided to make Christmas cookies on a whim after school the other day and looked up a New York Times, like legit recipe, did it all, chilled the dough overnight. And then after school, a day later, supervised the rolling out, the cutting out, the baking the decorating of with the younger two. And I just kept being like, this is really amazing. Like
now you're getting the magic.
Now that is magical. And of course my kids are still young enough that they do get excited about making cookies. And so that was really fun. We made gingerbread from scratch with my mother-in-law. I have two mothers-in-law. Brian has a mom and a stepmom and no dad anymore. So I have two mothers-in-law. Brian's stepmom is an amazing baker, lives outside Chicago. And we got on Zoom with her and she walked us through making gingerbread, which the making of gingerbread is not that hard. It's like making sugar cookies or something.
Right.
But it was fun to do from scratch. And then we assembled houses from scratch gingerbread, which I've never done in my life. And it was both. It was challenging, but it was also, like many things, it was in some ways easier than I thought it was going to be. And then you take like all the years you've bought the kits and you're like, oh, this is a lot better. First of all, it smells like gingerbread. We set them on this counter mm-hmm. that you walk by to get to the bedrooms and it smells like gingerbread, which the kits do not. And we had more control over things like how much icing. And so it was so much fun. And if you've tried to do gingerbread houses with 4 and 5 year olds, it's not fun. Like it's stressful and they cry when things break and they want you to do it a certain way and like you don't have fun. So
yep.
I am in these gravy years, as you call them, where my kids still think those things are fun, but they also like they can genuinely do stuff by themselves and they don't fall apart if like the roof cracks a little bit and we're like, oh, whoops, let's fix that. And it's not like someone's not on the floor screaming. So yeah, gravy years for sure over here. And you know, 5 years ago, I was thinking 5 years ago, I was still not sleeping through the night. I had 3 really tiny kids. 10 years ago, I had like a toddler and a 6-month-old. And like, so yeah, lots has changed for me in the last few years. And this is in general, a good place to be, except for the grumpy part about magical night visitors.
Well, I love that. And I have to say this year, you can make it even easier. Like I handed those gingerbread house kits to my kids. And that does not replace, you know, obviously making real gingerbread. That sounds amazing. But what I thought was amazing was the only thing I had to do was cut the end off the icing bag because Clara could not figure it out. She's like, how do I get the, you know, the thingy in there? And I did that for her. And that was it. That was the only, and then I walked away and then I came back later and it was just, there was a gingerbread house. I was like, wow, that's the stuff. If you have like a 2-year-old listening, you're listening right now and you have like a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, you're probably like, what?
What?
First of all, will kids even want to do that stuff anymore? They will. They will still want to do that stuff.
Yeah.
But they can just do it in a way where it almost like your involvement can be so low and you still get that credit for supplying it, mm-hmm. like having the ingredients on hand. And that is magical.
Yeah.
So,
Love it. Well, let's take a break. And then we're going to have a little gratitude practice when we come back. Because I think being in the present moment is a lot about noticing what we're grateful for, even in 2020. So we'll be right back. We are welcoming back Vionic Shoes as our sponsor today. I'm so excited to continue this partnership, Megan. My Vionic sneakers were a serious source of comfort during the stress of the pandemic this summer. Just looking down at my mustard yellow Nana retro style sneaks, it just made me smile.
I love those bright yellow sneakers. And I also got much joy this fall out of wearing my bright blue suede Willa slip-on flats. Sadly, Michigan requires, you know, like socks and full foot coverage in the winter. So now I'm eyeing the Lois from VionicShoes.com. It actually looks like the kind of boot that wouldn't let me do my usual antics of falling down on the ice this winter. And it's so cute. I am all in.
Oh, those are so cute. And even better if they keep you off the ice. And now that we've both been wearing Vionic shoes for a few months, we know they'll be comfortable. Vionic is all about combining fresh, modern trends on the outside with serious support and comfort on the inside. Their shoes are built around what they call three-zone comfort so that your heel, arch, and the ball of your foot are all supported. I have foot issues that run in my family, plus, you know, that whole ballet career part of my life. So I just do not do well with uncomfortable shoes.
Vionic makes sneakers, loafers, boots, booties, heels, and wedges, and more. So there's really something for almost every occasion and every season. And their 30-day wear test means you can return a pair of shoes for a full refund within 30 days, even if you've worn them outside. Check out VionicShoes.com to see the latest styles, and be sure to check out their winter sale starting December 23rd, where select styles will be 40% off. Again, it's VionicShoes.com, and that winter sale starts December 23rd.
We are really excited to be partnering with Parenting in Place this month. It's a live parenting masterclass series designed to help you stay sane as you move through this fall and into a very COVID winter. I'm already signed up to participate, and looking at the lineup of speakers, I'm just really excited.
Yeah, this looks so good, Sarah. The speakers you'll learn from in this course are parenting experts, therapists, authors, educators, and neuroscientists, the types of experts we bring in our Voices interviews. And in fact, a few of them have been our guests already. The program takes place over 8 weekly masterclasses hosted on Zoom on Tuesday evenings from November 17th through January 19th. But don't worry, you can sign up anytime during that window and get access to all the content.
The Zoom classes take place live, but you can always catch the recording later if you miss them. And because they're live, attendees have the chance to ask the host questions and communicate with each other through the chat. Each week is focused on a different theme, like screen time or behavior challenges or homework, and includes specific takeaways and strategies. You can also get access to a closed, moderated Facebook group to keep the conversation going between sessions.
The entire series, that's 8 weeks of live classes, bonus downloads for the speakers, and the closed Facebook community, costs only $49. That is such a great deal, especially for something that could really help shape your parenting mindset over the next few months. To register, head to themomhour.com/parentinginplace. That's themomhour.com/parentinginplace to sign up for 8 weeks of parenting help for just $49.
All right. So I know that gratitude practices are always, you know, brought up as a way to kind of like appreciate the present moment. And I admit to sometimes being like, yeah, I get it. I'm grateful. Like, I definitely know
what I gotta prove it.
Like, I know how good I have it. But I do think sometimes like really stopping to say it out loud is helpful. So I'm hoping listeners, if you're listening to this in the couple days before Christmas, things can get really hairy. We talked last week about how almost every mom cries on Christmas Eve for some reason or another. So to really think about this present moment when you're listening to this, you can play along with us and just think of some things you're grateful for. So I have kind of 3 categories, Megan. So I want you to tell me one thing you are feeling grateful for right now, and right now meaning like today or this week or this month, but a pretty local to this period of time, December 2020.
I mean, is it going to sound like really cliche for me to just say I'm so grateful that we're all warm and healthy, and you know,
that's
we have gifts that are ready to be wrapped, and we have food in our cabinets, and we have like secure housing.
Yeah.
And we're all warm and together. And I'm just grateful for that.
No, that's worth saying out loud for sure. And I have that thought all the time. I am going to say specifically, I am really grateful for my husband right now. He took on a new role shortly after we moved and is working. The first half of the pandemic, his workload was very light, almost comically light. And it's now the opposite. He's working around the clock. He has a lot of pressure on him in a lot of ways, and he has to do it from home. And I mean, we both earn income for our family and both of our income contributes to our ability to live in this crazy place we live. But I don't think we could do it financially if not for this step up that he took. So when I feel grumpy about like, and I do, I sometimes get grumpy about like, I'm working and momming more than he is working and dadding. And I think a lot of couples have that, like, especially when you're both working from home, it's like, well, like, what's the, like, you know, where are the scales balancing out? And I just am extremely grateful for the hard work that he's doing at his job, a job that's putting a lot of pressure and a lot of new pressure on him. And he, unlike, I can sort of thrive sometimes with a little bit of extra pressure. It's not his comfort zone. He is someone who really thrives in stability and like, he doesn't purposely seek out, challenge or discomfort. And I don't mean that as a bad thing, actually. He's like a very even keel person. So it's even harder for him to be in hot water. So that's what I'm feeling grateful for right now.
That's great.
Oh, thank you. What are you grateful for as you look back at, I wrote a different word in our outline that I'm not going to say out loud, but the dumpster fire that was 2020. Can you find a silver lining or something to be grateful for this year as a whole?
I don't remember if I've already talked to you about this, Sarah, but I was just thinking today how much has been permanently lost in the last year due to COVID. And that sounds very gloomy, but I'm going to turn it around. Okay. There are entire activities, groups of people, places like old haunts, things like that I will never go back to. They will never be a part of my usual routine again. For like lots of reasons. Right. But I think the side of that I'm grateful for is that it almost happened. It happens anyway. Like your life changes and there's groups of people that just fall out because they're not that important. They're just, and it's not that they're not important people, like on a global, but like to you, they're just not part of your like most inner circle. Right. And I think there's a couple times when that happens very naturally quickly and moving is one of them. Like there are things you're not going to go hang out in Orange County every weekend again,
right?
And go to the restaurants you used to go. That's not going to happen. Neighbors that you weren't that close with, those people aren't going to be in your life anymore. And we all live very socially cluttered lives right now. And there's too much going on and we have too many people that we have to like care about and check in with and all these things. And it's overwhelming and not really the way I think humans are wired to, it's not just me that thinks that, by the way, there's like actual science that backs that up. And one thing I'm kind of grateful for is how it just cut all that unnecessary stuff out and I didn't have to do a thing. It just happened.
Yeah.
And like really what was left was all the stuff that was really, really worth it to me to make time and room for.
And I think that's super profound, actually.
And it's sad, but it's like also really good in a way. So I'm grateful for that.
I love that. I did not prepare an answer for this one. So I'm like searching around a little bit. I can think of several things about 2020 and kind of silver linings or spots of gratitude. I'll go more broad rather than like, I am super grateful that 2020 brought us to this move closer to my family, but I've talked about that enough. So I will go with, I think like a lot of the pain and really like terrible things that happened in 2020 created an awareness in people whose lives are otherwise super comfortable. And so I mean that with regard to Black Lives Matter and with regard to health and first responders and just kind of like this no longer being possible to ignore the suffering of others, no longer being possible to kind of like exist in your comfort zone. And I can't speak for everyone, but I felt an awareness through through Black Lives Matter, through the election, through COVID, of people stepping out of their privilege and their comfort zones more than any other year. And I was inspired by a lot of what I saw. And I don't know that that would have happened in another year. So I'm not, you know, grateful for what brought us to those points or what we had to go through, but I am grateful for what I don't think we'll go back in a lot of ways to, you can't unknow what you now know. That was a little vague, but I think that's what I'm grateful for.
It makes total sense. And I think it's kind of in a way, like kind of what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like you just say like a, it's like a super concentrated lesson we all learned.
Yeah.
In a lot of different things and like a clearing of the slate and yeah. also getting back to what's really important and all, but like it happened so fast because we were all forced into it.
Yeah. Can I tell you something that's a little like woo-woo and weird? And I thought maybe I'd write an essay about this, but I don't think I'm going to. So I'm just going to say it on the podcast. At the beginning of 2020 in on like New Year's Day or New Year's Eve, the kids were all, I printed them these like these printables where you could make some resolutions if you wanted, these cute things. And they were doodling and drawing. And Violet wrote down, she wrote down, thank you for 2020. And I cut it out and I washi taped it into my notebook, which is not something I would normally do. And I remember thinking it was cute because she was six at the time, about to be seven. And it's in her little printing. And I think she got mixed up between, she forgot that you say Happy New Year. So it's like, she didn't really know what the, what is the official greeting of a new year? It's Happy New Year, but she got, she couldn't remember. So she instead wrote, thank you for 2020. And I literally taped it into my notebook in January of 2020. And I have looked at that so many times, be like, okay, obviously like we didn't know, but it was just a really like weirdly prophetic and like backward and kind of woo-woo thing that I just felt like has some kind of meaning. I can post a picture of it, but it was a weird thing for a six-year-old to write. And then of course, like it's not the year that any of us thought was going to happen. So I've had that little thing taped in my journal all year. So thank you for 2020.
I love that.
Well, last one, anything you're particularly grateful for that has to do with the podcast or our business or our community? And I can go first if you need a minute to think. Sure, we didn't really prepare. I am grateful for a lot of things, obviously all of you listening and the fun that we have, like making this show. But I think the specific thing that I will speak to is I am super grateful that we put in the hard work over the last 3 years, especially to run our business like a business. I mean, I just think I'm going to just toot our own horn for a minute here. I think we make really good business partners. Like I think we work really, really well together on the business of running our business, but it would have been easy because we could have gotten by with a handshake agreement and like winging it as we went. It could have been easy to do that forever, but instead we've put in systems for how we, you know, how we keep our books and how we pay our taxes and how we hire people and how we pay ourselves. And those are like big girl grown-up decisions we've had to make. And it didn't all happen at once. I mean, it's happened gradually, but when an economic reality like 2020 happened, I just have felt super proud over the last year of running the business that we do. And I hope that doesn't sound like I'm bragging or something, but it's almost like I'm pleasantly surprised at what a ship shape situation we have over here. And I feel really grateful for that.
I credit you with so much of that, Sarah. And I'm also very grateful for that. And I will say it would be bragging, I think, if we were like, well, we're just so talented. It just happened. That is not it. It's stepping out of our comfort zones for both of us in very different ways, by the way. Like we both have to challenge ourselves all the time to do something that's good for the business that does not jive with what our natural tendencies want us to do. Mm-hmm. And we both have to do that. And they're different things, but sometimes they're the same thing, actually. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, I think us being so different has been helpful in that way, but also like being kind of humble about it and like not thinking either one of us knows everything. And so mine will just piggyback off of that. And that is that I am so grateful that we have a business that we can feel really good about that actually also means that we can work like, you know, human beings, like when our kids needed us in the spring because schools were shutting down, we had the ability to pivot and change the way we did things a little bit so that it made that a little easier. And still, you know, neither one of us had to like go out and get another job or like it just, we were able to make it work. And that's partly to do with what we've done with the business. And that's partly because of how loyal the community has been. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for both, like the job we're doing behind the scenes and the fact that everyone keeps showing up and like leaving us such lovely reviews and ratings and sending us email. I mean, it really keeps us going and has just been, it's been a really nice year. I think like a highlight year business-wise, which is an interesting thing to say about 2020.
It is. It is. And I think there's a temptation for women, especially to be like, oh, look, I made some money doing like the thing that I love. And sometimes you don't hear women talking about like the less glamorous parts of, especially in our line of work. So I don't know. I hope that all comes across the right way. But I know there are many, many, many other women content creators out there who are either at the beginning or well established, but they are running legit businesses with, you know, employees and tax returns and like stuff going on behind the scenes. So I'm grateful that we get to do that. And yeah, I'm proud of us. So
me too.
All right. Well, I think it's time to just wrap up and say Merry Christmas, everyone.
I love that the wrap up and the outline literally just says Merry Christmas. Can we just like drop the mic and walk away?
Merry Christmas, mic drop. and next week we are going to use this past, present, future framework to, I don't know, dream a little bit about 2021 in kind of a fun, low-key way. So yeah. That episode will air on the 29th and still in this kind of between Christmas and New Year space. So look out for that one. And yeah, Merry Christmas, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.
Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you soon.